dreams of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I'll lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Talk on prayer. I have not talked on this subject for some time, so I felt as I was waiting on the Lord to share some things that I believe God wants to encourage us in, because prayer is absolutely essential. All things are wrought by prayer, as the Word of God clearly shows us. And we have to remember also that he says, my house is a house of prayer. Not it could be or should be or whatever, it is. That's the nature of God's church and fellowship, and one of the main reasons why we come together to exalt and glorify and lift the name of Jesus. None of these things can be accomplished unless we are a praying people. I would even go so far as to say that even having a meeting like this morning online could not be possible unless we get in prayer and intercede and pray. That is why it is important to pray for our spiritual food, the spiritual things that feed us and keep us going as believers. Not only for the Word of God, but praying one for another, praying for the ministry, praying for the Word, praying for outreach, and it just continues to go on and on. But I have a title this morning that we're going to look at, and it is Staying with Prayer and Don't Be Discouraged. Staying with Prayer and Don't Be Discouraged. Now, often our Lord Jesus was emphasizing this in his earthly ministry to encourage his followers, the disciples, to not become faint-hearted, disillusioned, and so on, which is so easy because the spirit of this age wars against the Holy Spirit that resides and lives and dwells within us. And the two are completely opposed. Fire and water do not mix. And that is why we find ourselves under constant attack in one way or another. And prayer is the key to this. To continue to endure, remain with it and stay with it. Whatever the circumstances, whatever we see, however we feel, however vocal the enemy becomes, prayer is essential for us to continue to stay with it and remain faithful. Because if we all decide to flee and go away and do our own thing, then the body of Christ cannot exist. The remnant cannot exist in these last days. So our title today is Stay with Prayer and Don't Be Discouraged. You see, our first desire as believers, filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit, should always be to talk with God, Almighty God. There should be something within our hearts that wants to set aside quality time to meet with God. And it's called the closet. We know that we go in there, we shut that door, and it is God and you in communication, in talking, in listening. It's important to understand in prayer to listen also to what God is saying. Our listening should not be just confined to having the word preached to us like today. The word of God that we listen to, like we're doing today, should be instrumental in leading us in our closet to talk with God. There may be things that challenge us in the word, or we may find often that it has our name and address on it. So it's always that stepping stone to lead us into prayer and intercession with our Heavenly Father. But it is also a means of listening to what God is saying. And very often you will find that God is speaking, particularly in your time of prayer, far more than you are open to listen to. And one of the reasons why we do not hear God in prayer is because we're too quick to come with our own needs, our own problems, our list of prayers, and we feel when we have done that, we have prayed. But we will soon find that prayer will become monotonous, boring. You will not get anything out of it. Actually, the secret of a prayer life is to know the one whom you're communicating with. And the only way you will know the one whom you're communicating with is when you hear him speak to you. When you are hearing his leading, his guidance. This is why we make so much about praying in the Spirit and not just in your understanding. By praying in the Spirit, that is, those tongues that you are blessed by through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is those myriads of languages communicating, which you don't understand, but the Holy Spirit does, communicating to us so that we start to become enlightened and we start to understand what God is saying to us. Why am I emphasizing this? Because God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's not a spirit, he is spirit. Everything exists within him. Everything is created in him. So he's not a spirit, he is spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who is the one who must intercede and pray in and through us according to the will of God, according to his word. And that is why we know that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, now in glory, as the intercessor, the high priest. That tells us clearly how important prayer is for the body of Christ, and to really understand and learn this one. This is why I'm calling this title this morning, Stay with Prayer and Don't Be Discouraged. Now, of course, we have wonderful illustrations in Scripture that clearly show us why we're to do this. And our first one we're going to look at is Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And that was often his emphasis. He was clearly showing in his ministry, whether it be faith or believing, walking with the Lord, don't lose heart. He's warning because the flesh attitudes can become very strong in us, and they can dominate, they can take over. So he's clearly showing here that in the flesh, in your flesh, there has to be more that will motivate you, that will keep you faithful than just by your feelings and your emotions, which sadly so many professing Christians are bound and held by. This is why we preach the message of the cross and the deeper life. So this is what he's saying, don't lose heart. And the reason he's saying don't lose heart, because he's going to give this famous parable, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. What a wonderful introduction there. He's a judge. He's powerful. He doesn't give a damn about anyone. He does what he wants to do, which sadly a lot of judges in those days were like that. They were virtually despots. And he goes on. He did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me, my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. So of course he's motivated by himself, his position, his so-called authority, and he's saying this woman is a continual concern, a worry. She hinders me, and I need to satisfy her, to get her out of my life, to have some peace. That's what it's saying. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? In other words, he's saying here, will I really find saints who are praying, believing, or have they given up because they're discouraged? They're fed up. God isn't answering my prayers, what I want, and so on. All sounds very familiar, doesn't it? And it doesn't take us much to get discouraged. But he says, how much more our Heavenly Father who loves us. But he's giving an analogy here of how it might seem. It might seem God is hard. He's unjust. He's not loving. He hasn't heard my prayers. He hasn't answered. I'm no nearer to receiving. And he says, keep at it. That's your emotions. That's the lie of the devil. That's your feelings. That's what you want to entertain in your thinking, in your mind. But he's saying, stay with it, because you'll see I'm not actually what you think or what the enemy says I am. That's the reason why we stay with it. That is the reason why we endure to the end. Because God is faithful, and he will avenge the righteous. And so often in this life, it looks as though we're going under. We're failing. But he clearly shows your pressing in, your knocking at the door, your persistence is being heard. There is a reason why God delays manifestation. One of which is to work a deeper, lasting faith within you. Why do I say that? Because the last verse in verse 8 implies this. He says, when he returns, and Jesus is going to return, and he's coming shortly because the signs clearly show, but he says, will he really find faith on the earth? Or will he find a faithful remnant? Right? In the context of prayer, being persistent, being staying with it. And he leaves that with a question mark. Now, we don't know what the outcome of that is. Sadly, it may well be true, but the question is, instead of you looking and saying, well, he probably won't find faithfulness, there'd be barely anybody believing or being faithful or whatever it is, I don't think we can excuse ourselves in that way, because the question is, am I? Will he find me faithful when he comes? Because that is the question. If the body of Christ, if even FGA is to exist, that is what each of us ask ourselves. It is no good looking to somebody else. This is why you have to have this prayer life. And you should not be known as a brother or sister who prays, and that if I have a need or there's problems, whatever, I'll go to such and such in the assembly because I know they pray. Which sadly goes on. In churches, you have certain people there who are known for prayer or go faithfully to the prayer meetings. And so they get all the lists of the requests for prayer. That's about as far as prayer goes. That should never be found in the body of Christ. We, all of us, should be prepared to pray and intercede. And even if asked for prayer support, then that should be anyone. It shouldn't be a certain few that seem to be blessed with regard to that ministry. And if you find yourself constantly doing that, then you have to ask yourself, well, what's going on with my prayer life? And it's not to say that we don't pray for one another, because we do. Prayer Our Father once is where no one else knows you are praying. You shut the door. And that shutting the door, as we've said before, is shutting the door to all problems, all anxiety, all fear, unbelief. Shut the door to the phone, the doorbell, money matters, family matters, whatever's going on. You shut that door, and it's between you and the Lord. Don't keep coming before God with your lists. He already knows. I would think some of the greatest prayers we could pray is, Lord, you know what I'm going through, but I'm not going to pray about this. There are other things to pray about, because I know you love me. You've already answered. You won't see me hungry. You won't see me destitute. You won't see me without a roof over my head. You will raise me up. And yet, it seems to monopolize, it holds us, and in all that is what we pray about. Prayers that God is looking from the overcomers now has to move beyond that. And it's not to say that one couldn't pray this, but when you're constantly praying about the same thing, 9 times out of 10, it's unbelief, there's worry, anxiety that is attached to it. And that's what God is really trying to expose, to get you free from. Otherwise, our prayers don't develop, they don't grow, they don't mature. Because much of our prayer life is our talking, our conversation with God. And this is why I said at the beginning, when I opened up with this, it's important that you hear what God is saying. But too often, we're doing all the talking. Be still and know that I am God. want to just know his presence. I want him to know that I'm just there for him, and not with all my requests, my wants that I want off of him. Because God once showed me, how would you like it if your friends visited you or phoned you or came round to see you, and their motive always was because they wanted something off you? And that really convicted me. And I said, Lord, whatever that takes, please let that not be me. My salvation, my relationship with you is more than enough for this life. Very important to be still before God, for him to lead us into his presence, for him to reveal himself to us as he illumines our mind. That is why we shut that door, we go into his presence, and we wait on him. No motivation other than to know our Heavenly Father. That is the only motivation we should ever have when we come into his presence, is to know you this day even more. That is why often Jesus prayed through the night. It was so that he could just be in his Father's presence. And when the presence of God is there, then you will see everything the needs are met. This is why we don't see the healings and deliverances we long to see, because God's presence will do it. If I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The body of Christ, the overcomers, have got to learn to lift the very presence and glory of God up in their lives, in their meeting, in their worship, in their consecration. This is why unity and oneness and faith is so paramount for this to be done and achieved. But if we don't be discouraged, God will reveal his faithfulness in these last days. That's why the nature of prayer is often to persist. It means to keep with it. And Satan will always attack. He'll always amplify the delays. Well, you didn't pray in faith, or God didn't hear you, or whatever it would be. Well, God doesn't love me, or it can't be his will. You know it? Yes, I've been attacked by it. You've been attacked by it. And he can make it all sound so logical. Ever your flesh is agreeing with these things, I can assure you, it's not of God. Your flesh, your mind, can never understand or agree with the revelation of God's word. That is why it has to be a revelation. And it's always a revelation to our heart, our spirit. It's not to our flesh, our emotions, our feelings, which we still insist that we want. We still want that shot from God. We're spiritual drug takers. We want to feel good. We want to feel the goosey bumps. And God does not minister to us that way. He ministers to the new heart, the new man, the inner man. And that is where we pick it up. That is why our minds have to be renewed from the work of the Holy Spirit, who ministers to that new life that is in us. And as we yield to that through the working of the cross, we learn to see that flesh and blood does not reveal these things to us. And this is what makes it so wonderful. This is what makes it so exciting. that I am receiving knowledge, wisdom, understanding that the world does not see. But I see it, and I know it. It is my experience. It is my life. Exist in these emotions and feelings, and that's why we get discouraged in prayer. Our prayers will go no higher than the ceiling. Most of the time I don't feel like praying if it goes by the flesh. But we learn that it's got nothing to do with that. Come, Lord, in prayer because you love him and you know he loves you. You come to the Lord in prayer no matter how you feel because you know your motives are pure and right in his sight. That's what compels us. That's what empowers us to keep with this and keep in God's presence, because I'm coming before him not what I can get. I'm coming before him because I love being with him and in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. If love, God's love, is not the motivation for our praying, then you will not move in deeper with this. Find sometimes you go before God and you haven't said anything before him in prayer. He has simply revealed himself, or he has spoken to you. That can be a wonderful experience in your closet with God. God will take us as far as we want to go with regard to prayer. Let it be your hunger and thirsting after righteousness. Let that be your hunger. And if it's not there, then ask him to put it there, and he will. And you unbelief when they ask that one, because you know it's according to the will of God. That's why you see we preach faith, because our faith, the side of faith with regard to prayer, is the persistence, is the staying with it. And so if you stay with it, you persist with it, they are clear signs and indications you are believing, you are in prayer. Let's look at Luke 11, verses 5 to 13. Luke 11, verses 5 to 13. Again, this asking, this seeking, this knocking. We know all these very well, but it's important for these to really sink in, these parables. And he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' Though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." From the time we pray, obstacles are in front of us. Hindrances are there. Mountains are there. Every prayer of faith, you will find there are mountains, there are obstacles. So why do we believe them? Why do we get so upset about them? He's already shown us this is what happens. There's a need, knocks at the door. I'm not getting up tonight, we're all in bed. There's the obstacle. And yet we get so upset. They're there for a reason. So that you can reach out in faith and believe for more. Those obstacles in our lives are so that you don't limit God. to just what you want. Your mind, your thinking, your circumstances, those obstacles are there for the glory of God, for the bigness of God. This is why I keep saying to you, brothers and sisters, the trials that you're going through is bigger than you. We have sicknesses in the body. Saints are going through it in the body. What you are going through is a bigger picture. It's not just about you. Praise God, you will be raised up in Jesus' name. But it is a bigger picture. That's why they're called mountains, obstacles. Because God, the way he works through our trials is always in the nature of redemption. It's about saving other people, saving lives, lives that are influenced. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And that's what he's saying here. And it goes on. So I say to you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, it will be open to you. Here is the persistence, staying with it. Don't be discouraged. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. What is he saying here? Look at the language. Everyone who asks receives. So you don't have to keep asking. And he who seeks finds. Who are we seeking? Ourselves? Or somebody who can pray for us? No. We're seeking God. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Because he's already heard. He's heard your knocking. He sees that you are seeking him. For him, for God, his sake. He sees that you're not coming with the wrong motives. And he goes on. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In with it. God so often allows these delays in order to get to our faith, so that our faith will reach out and embrace greater things. If we receive everything immediately we ask for, the body of Christ will be so inward looking, so selfish, so self-centered. These delays cause us to see the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of self. They cause us to see the greatness, the bigness of God, because God knows human nature. The reason we don't have these prayer lives that God wants is because our prayers are so self-centered. And he's trying to deliver us from our worst enemy, which isn't the devil always, is yourself. We ourselves hinder our prayers from being answered. And these parables clearly show what goes on. See, in these contexts, how these hindrances affect our prayers. For example, let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 12. And look at verses 1 to 12. Here we see with this one of the biggest hindrances that affects Christians in the house of God. And this is why a lot of prayers are hindered and don't get answered. And this is why some believers get very discouraged, even get angry with God and each other. And you know this well, but we're going to read it in its context. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? So we're already immediately seeing there that if you try and pray and intercede for brothers or sisters or situations in a church, and you have these problems which we've read there, your prayers are going no higher than the ceiling. Hypocrites, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. Look at the deliverance that you get. You see clearly your that deception, that deceiving spirit then has to go. Do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. So the opening of your eyes, the Holy Spirit leads and guides you to pray according to the will of God and not according to your own lusts, your own resentment, anger, bitterness, which is what happens if that is the case. All you're doing is simply casting your pearls before swine, and they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Futile. No good at all. Not profiting anything. But he goes on, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. So often we see the secret essence to these prayers that Jesus is giving. And it's always in the nature of staying with this prayer, staying with it. Don't become discouraged. Keep before me. Come regularly in my presence. Come with the right motives. Come with a pure heart and a clean hands in my presence. Because he goes on, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Give him a fish, a serpent? And so it goes on. And we get all these principles. And it goes on, verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So whatever you're praying about, whatever you're seeking God, or however it is, Lord, I'm praying this as though this would be me. I'm praying about this situation because that could be me. And I would value somebody praying for me so that I could get deliverance and help and change. That is why prayer should be so important to us, because you are here today in fellowship listening to this word because someone prayed for you and for me. And I can't wait till I get into glory to meet that person who prayed for me. Because I'm absolutely indebted to them, because they were obedient to the Holy Spirit. They took time to intercede and pray for you and me. They had allowed the Holy Spirit to humble them, to get all those obstacles out of the way, all those resentments, unbelief, anger, bitterness. We're here today because a saint had clean hands and a pure heart in God's presence. And their prayer was heard. And that is why your eyes and ears and heart are open. Is that not the motive we pray in when we seek our God? Narrow is the way, Jesus said with all of this. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by that way. So all of this is very narrow. So blessed because God's enabled you and I to hear. Because flesh and blood does not reveal these things. We know it. We only see it in the room. People come in, stay for a few minutes, and they go. Some come into the room ever so excited about the word, want to know when the next meeting's going to be, only to find they never turn up. Why? Because you have to be called from the foundation of the world. That's why we need the fear of God, that is the beginning of wisdom. And God knows how to work that if you want it. So this unforgiveness, resentment, is one of the biggest hindrances to a prayer life. I don't care if you are in prayer 2 hours a day. Your prayers are going no higher than the ceiling. Our prayer life is very much instrumental to how we grow in the Spirit. There are Christians who profess Christ, but they don't grow in the Spirit. They don't change. But we're told that we should be changed from glory into glory. That's what should be happening to us. And part of that change is falling deeper and deeper in love with God. Mark 11:23. Know this one well. 11:23. Shortly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So there, again, clearly is the hindrance. We'll only pray when circumstances call for it. And why prayers don't get answered. That happen to us should shock us. Our prayer life, our intercessions, are a means of keeping at bay all these things that we encounter. You note, and we've seen it, where you get believers only really pray when a trial comes or a test comes, and then they're devout, then they're very committed for that season. Sadly, so often you find those prayers don't really get answered. Very, very often over the years in ministry, as I look at these things, but for nothing, but in everything, in or by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. A huge amount there. Gentle, loving towards one another. And he says, be anxious for nothing. That means absolutely nothing. Whatever. Whatever the trials, whatever the news, whatever's going on, don't be anxious about it. You've already got the victory, in other words. But everything by prayer. So that means everything. And supplications. and with thanksgiving. Oh, we're not always thankful as we should be, are we? We're quite negligent in that one. We're only thankful when God gives us something. But we're not so thankful when the manifestation is delayed. Oh, how I long to hear some who are believing for manifestation. Lord, I'm believing. I thank you. I have it in Jesus' name. You are faithful. We once used to hear it years ago. Don't hear it now, do we? Why? Because we become discouraged. It's made known to God. And what's the blessing as a result of it? The peace of God. Your mind is protected, guarded by the blood of the Lamb, which is what we need, is what prayer needs. And it surpasses all understanding. You can't understand it, but it's happening. He guards your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what the presence of God does. That's what relationship does. That's what coming before him does. It's that guard, so that you are free in communication with God. And you have to give time for that. If we're busy, 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 then we don't experience these deeper things with God in prayer. Finally, a very, very important scripture that we know well and yet we forget it is in Matthew 26 and verse 41, all in the context of the last days, the coming of Jesus. The warning here, as we know very, very well, in verse 41, Matthew 26, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus hit it. Watch and pray, because that keeps you from the world, the spirit of this age, its lies, its deception. Watching and praying will keep you separated in mind, body, spirit before the Lord. Spiritually aware, watching, discerning the times, the seasons. But he said but he then goes on to say there's a hindrance that you need to guard and be real and honest about, because he says the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, how that hurts our pride. But that's what he says. Other things that I like, but I know the flesh is weak. That's your acknowledgement. If that's your cry and call to God, then God will raise you up in the power and strength of his might. We'll regard ourselves as too important. And tells us why we're not. Because he says the spirit indeed's willing, but there's an obstacle. Your flesh is weak. All about him. Prayer life is about the glory of God. That's why we have the baptism and the Holy Spirit, to help us with this and our prayer. But prayer life centered on self will soon fizzle out. We are, brothers and sisters, stay with prayer and don't be discouraged.
Let him in constancy follow the master.